Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
We all can find that. Confidence is, I've got a track record. I've done this. I know how to make money online. I can build a website. I can grow an email list. Most people that pick up my book will never have done any of that yet. And so it starts with courage. Confidence comes later. And that's the only thing you need to get started. And I hope someone really needed to hear that right now. You don't need to know all this stuff. You don't need more years of experience. You don't need more time in your 9-to-5 job. You need courage. That is what's going to get you started.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very exclusive treat. We're bringing back one of our all-time favorite guests for round two. Her first episode not only dominated with downloads, but the feedback was off the charts, with some suggesting that our chemistry may be the best of any guest since inception. True story. Please welcome back the dynamic, driven, multifaceted, and authentic, the special, gentle, and kind Amy Porterfield. How you doing, Amy?
I am good, my friend. What a compliment that people thought we had good chemistry. I have to tell you, after that first conversation we had, I got up and I went downstairs to talk to my husband and I said, that was so good. Like, we had such a great conversation. So thank you so much for inviting me back. I've been looking forward to this.
My pleasure. And I said the same thing to my fiance. It's just one of those rare connections. And we become friends since. Yes. I'm so excited. This, and to be honest with you, like, it's just not enough time because there's so many different places we could take the conversation. Obviously, we're going to jump around today, but what I want to really hammer home today is talk a little bit about the book, which you have coming out in February, which I'm really excited about. Tell us the name.
It's called 2 Weeks Notice, and it's all about how to find the courage to quit your job and build a business that you absolutely love. It was literally the book I wish I had 14 years ago when I started my own business.
Yeah, and you and I have not the same journeys, but like we both were in, I guess you could say corporate, obviously yeah. A little bit different, and then we started. And what I love that you're doing, and same with me, I'm only 2 years into it, but like what we're showcasing, and you're a little farther ahead, of course, is that you can absolutely combine making a massive impact and making a lucrative living. And I think people don't realize that that's true.
It's so very true. And when you're in a 9-to-5 job or in a situation that's just no longer serving you, making that impact starts feeling really difficult. You wonder if you really matter. Are you appreciated? You probably feel like you're not getting paid enough or people don't even recognize you. But when you own your own business, your destiny, like you get to live the life in the business by your own design. That is a whole different experience. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about this. But you're right. You and I get to showcase that because we live it, we experience it, and we share it. And it's our reality.
That's it. And you know what else? Like, whenever I see other people winning, I get really excited. And I know there's a lot of people out there that it's kind of the opposite. Like, they get bitter or jealous or they have some sort of judgment. But like, what I want the audience to know today and what you do so well is like, when you see others winning, if you're not clapping, you're missing the point, right? Because they're showcasing what's possible.
Okay. I love that you bring this up because in the past, when I was building up my business, I would see other people succeed. And sometimes it even happens now where the first feeling I have is envy. Like, I want that. Why do they have it and I don't? Or they must have had a special break because why are they all of a sudden successful and it's taking me forever? And what I learned along the way from many of my mentors is that when you see someone doing something amazing online, there's two things you need to do if you feel envious, jealous, resentful even. And that's a very human experience, so we don't need to judge that. When you see that happen, number one, ask yourself, what do they have that I want? Because you're only feeling that way because they have something that you would really desire in your own life. And number two, like you said, send them love, click the like, give them hearts, give them all the good vibes because it will come right back to you. I really do believe that energy is real.
VMI Sports is the premier and fastest growing brand in sports nutrition, bar none. Their products help me clang and bang in the gym and facilitate consistently faster PRs, marathon after marathon, no big deal. A few products that I personally want to brag about are as follows. The KXL pre-workout, full dose of beta-alanine for strength and endurance, and has ingredients for cognition and focus, having me sharp as a tack. I also want to mention their Protolite protein, consisting of 100% whey isolate, which is easily digestible and facilitates hydration, and my personal favorite, has the best flavors in the market, such as vanilla cake batter and cinnamon crunch. If you want to combine feeling and looking like $1 billion in all facets of life and during your workouts, go to vmisports.com, use code CLS, and thank me later. I only partner with the best. You dig? 100%. Yeah. And also, like, it's just, again, like, when I was on Wall Street, it was the same feeling. It just shows you what's possible. And yes. I like what you said right there. Like, what do they have that I really want? Because that's realistically what's triggering you with the initial reaction, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. This is awesome. We're going to talk about the book a lot, but I wanted to ask you this specifically because for the audience that obviously you're familiar because you've been on the show before and only the second guest to ever be on for a sequel, do a deep dive, check out Amy's content, obviously read her book and all that stuff. But one thing that you talk about a lot lately is mental health, specifically in regards to entrepreneurship. And I think that's so important because entrepreneurship is many things, obviously sexy, shiny, looks all that. But a lot of the stuff people don't see is sometimes it could be lonely, right? Sometimes it's a real trip. It's a real roller coaster. Why is that so important for you to discuss?
You know, I started to discuss it just a few years ago. So I've been in this world for about 14 years. So I wish I talked about it way back when because it's so important. But one thing that a friend told me one time is that if you want to grow personally, become an entrepreneur because it is the biggest personal growth experience or experiment in your life that you will ever be part of because you have to learn who you are, what you're about, what you stand for, what you love, what you don't love, boundaries. All of that is part of entrepreneurship. And I think it takes us a while to really develop all of that. So that's why that's why mental health is so incredibly important. I didn't know that morning routines and taking care of yourself mentally, meditation, journaling, for me, it's a red light therapy, all of that. I always thought that was icing on the cake, extra good to do. Now I've realized, and I really mean this, it is essential. Like if I am not taking care of myself physically and mentally, I am going to suffer and struggle as an entrepreneur. I didn't realize the two were that tied together. So anyone listening that you're not doing any of that stuff because you think it's like good to have, when I become successful, I'll spend more time taking care of myself. No, 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 my friend. The key to success in entrepreneurship is to start with yourself. I think it's really important.
Yes. Hell yes. And like, I'm so big into journal. I journal so much that I actually, my hand gets tired.
So, I think that is awesome. Specifically, do you like to journal? Because I don't enjoy journaling. I like the outcome. I like how I feel when it's done, but I have to really push myself to get there. So if you like it, tell me your secrets because I want to enjoy it.
I do. And it's weird because sometimes like I have all these thoughts, but then all of a sudden there's a pen in my hand and I'm journaling and think it's like almost like spiritual. Like it just comes through me and I start writing. And specifically, like, I know everyone these days, it's very sexy and trendy to talk about what's your word or your theme for the new year. But I was doing that 5-6 years ago before I was even an entrepreneur. And the reason why it's so special, Amy, is because I was going back into my journal, the one that usually has a New Year's like themes and so forth. And I was going back to years back when I was in a dark place and like I was still trying to find myself. And yes, I was having success on Wall Street, but I wasn't fulfilled or anything like that. And the writing was on the wall. Like I was trying to put it together. I wanted to create something. I wanted to do something different, but I wasn't there yet. And it's cool to kind of connect the dots looking backwards. But I wanted to ask you, like, I'm curious, are you big into New Year's resolutions or are you more just like, that's a little bit too much pressure, like just set the intention? Like, where do you stand with that stuff?
So I've always set New Year's resolutions for myself personally. I have goals for the business. That is a must and definitely do that. But I've always set personal goals and then they freaked me out. I'm an anxious person by nature and I would like not even want to look at them because they would freak me out so much. And I don't know what that is or why that was coming up for me. But then I read Atomic Habits, James Clear, and I have a mentor, Michael Hyatt, that talks a lot about this as well, that it's the habits that matter more than the outcome. And so because I've been so anxious, and every year I've set the goals, and sometimes I hit them, sometimes I don't. This year I decided no goals, but habits. Like, what are the habits that I am totally committed to this year? And I'm excited to see where that might go or where it might take me, because I know things that I want to do. I want to be a New York Times bestseller. I want to get my body even more in shape. I want to put my health as a priority, all of that. But I'm going to look at the habits and not the outcome. And we're going to see. It's a little experiment for me.
This is so powerful, because I'm really big into marry the process, divorce the outcome.
But yes.
Hell yeah. But like with you, what you're doing right now, like maybe like getting in the best shape of your life is the intention. Okay. But what do I have to do daily? What are the standards that I have to live by to make sure that eventually happens this year? Waking up a little bit earlier, being a little bit more conscious on what you eat, working out, allocating time towards that, right? Like you focus on those, and then the result is inevitable, I would say.
Yes. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I was talking to a good girlfriend of mine about how I really want this book to be successful. And I feel a lot of pressure. I've been in the industry for many, many years. And so putting out a book now, I feel pressure like it should succeed because I've done all this work. Well, I don't know. You know, you never know. I've never written a book or marketed it in my life. And well, not a book on my own. I did a dummies book way back in the day around Facebook marketing, but I don't count that. Anyway, she said to me, You just said, what's that great term you say about marry and divorce or whatever?
Marry the process, divorce the outcome.
Okay, that's essentially what she told me. And I've never looked at it like that before. But she said, you cannot control what happens, like the end result. There's nothing you can do to actually control that. But she said, if you're not focusing every day on how you're showing up, you're missing the magic. And when she said that, I thought, oh, I am. I'm not even paying attention to how I'm showing up. I'm just like, I got to do this. I think it changes everything when you're intentional about how you show up every single day. And that is, I think, the most important message.
You know how like you meet somebody like, that's my person, like that's my people. Like, that's how I feel about you. Like,
I love that. Same, friend. Same. I love that now we text each other and we're talking outside of the podcast. That's another thing. Okay. I love that you brought up friendship, because one of the habits that I set this year is to be intentional about the people I care deeply about. I can't text everyone back. I can't DM everyone in my Instagram, and I can't be there for everyone. But what I noticed is I was trying to be there for everyone. So my friends, the ones I really want to develop a true relationship with, I wasn't being intentional there because I was spread too thin. So one of the habits this year is write a list of the friends that I really care about, that I really want to have a relationship with, and show up for them and be a good friend like I want them to be for me. And so that's like one example of habit versus my outcome.
Yeah, that's an awesome intention. And I love how organized you are. And also, I want to take a second and congratulate you on the book, because I just finished my book too. I handed in the first draft of the manuscript.
It was Oh my goodness, 30. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. We signed a massive book deal for first-time author with Wiley, which is also the one that Ed did with.
Huge. And,
it was just, I got to tell you, like, I wanted to write a book, but I didn't force it. Seems like you were the same way. Like, everyone's like, oh, you have no idea what that'll do for you. I'm like, in divine timing, you know what I'm saying? And then it seemed like the right fit. So when I finally sat down to like create a process for myself, I would wake up at 4 every day, write for about an hour, hour and a half, first thing every single day. And it was so much fun. Like, I never expected the journey I went on. At first, I was like, 50,000 words. Like, shit, like that's a lot. But now I could write a second book. But I wanted to ask you, like, what was that? And you mentioned like a lot of pressure, and I totally get that. But one thing that you maybe can't control is the commercial success. But what you can do is marry the process and just put together an unbelievable work. How was that process for you while you were creating it?
So for me, I did the same thing. I woke up early every morning before my family was up. I came upstairs. I sat down for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what I had in the morning. And I just wrote. And in the beginning, because I'm so hard on myself, in the beginning, I thought, this is crap. Like, what am I? I'm not a great writer. I'm not a fast writer. And everything I wrote just felt yuck, like not important enough, not eloquent enough. And I was beating myself up. So that's like the first month. It was miserable. So I called up my editor and I'm like, this isn't working. And she kind of walked me off the ledge and said, the first copy has to be shitty. Like everybody has to write that shitty first copy. I think Brené Brown talks about this a lot as well. And I didn't realize that that was just part of the process. I was judging every word, every sentence, and it was really rough. But when I just said, I'm just going to get it all out. I'm just going to let it all flow. I'm going to tell the stories I'm embarrassed to tell. There's some stories in this book that I'm like, I actually went to my editor and said, maybe we should take that out. She's like, absolutely not. I want the stories that make you feel uncomfortable. Those are the real ones. And so there's a lot in there. I talk about a partnership I was in that went bad and how I thought I was going to lose my whole company. And I talked about the fact that a marketing director when I was still at my corporate job didn't believe in me and it crushed my soul because I was getting ready to go out on my own. So it's those kind of things that I need to talk about. So when I started to just put it out there, it started to flow finally. And then you can go back and you can clean it up and you can make it sound better, but it's giving yourself permission to get it out there that is very freeing. So I love that you enjoyed that experience. It, to me, it was a little bit harder, but once I started getting going, it was very enjoyable.
Hell yeah. And also it's liberating, right? And like you mentioned the stories that were toughest for you to mention in the book, I have a feeling I'm going to predict that those are going to be the main things that people connect with you and gravitate towards you because it shows them. Everybody sees what you're up to now, which is obviously extremely impressive, but maybe they didn't realize some of the growing pains or that words matter, right? Someone says something to you and it crushes your spirit, but it didn't break you, right? And it's just beautiful. And I want to acknowledge you for telling those, for those stories and so forth. What is the main thing that you really want someone that's maybe like where you were 15 years ago to really get from the book?
Oh, I love this question. So one of the biggest mistakes I made early on was thinking that everything I did had to be planned out, perfect, really look good online. Every decision I made was set in stone. So I was freaked out throughout like the first few years of building a business because everything seems so important. But what I wish I knew in the beginning is that that's when you're experimenting. That's when you're trying new things. I did a launch early on in my career and I made $267. And I was devastated because I thought I should make $100,000. It looked like that's what everyone else was making online. And in that moment, I wish someone had told me, this is going to get you to the next thing that will be more of a success and the next thing. And in a couple of years, you'll have a $1 million launch. Like I would never have believed that back then, but I wish I knew that this is the time to experiment. I always say the business you create in the beginning will look dramatically different 5-10 years from now. So let yourself make the mistakes, try new things, experiment. Nothing is set in stone. What I was doing in the very beginning is dramatically different than what I do now. The first time I made money online, I sold audits. So I would audit your Facebook page, tell you what's working, what's not working. It was $300 for an audit. And that's where I started. What I do now is dramatically different. I teach people how to create digital courses and build businesses online from scratch. But I would have never been here with a multi-million-dollar business if I didn't start making money somehow online in the early days. Nothing is set in stone. That's the lesson I want people to know.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to cultivatelastingsymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig? Yeah, hell yeah. And isn't it so funny and beautiful to look back, right? Like even like some of the things I was doing 2 years ago when I first started and so forth. But also like I did an Instagram story the other day. I was out with my fiance for dinner New Year's and we're posting something and I was wearing this New Year's hat, right? And I was saying something motivational and the hat fell off my head. And she was like, redo it. I'm like, no, let it rock. It's authentic, right? Good. So it just reminds me about like the audience listening. Like I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs listening to the show. Like give yourself permission to be less than perfect, right? Mm-hmm. To have that $267 launch or whatever it was, or potentially to bomb something or mess around, dabble with some offers, because you have to experiment and that nothing is set in stone and everything's going to look, as long as you stay in the fight or stay in the game, like everything's going to look a lot different in a couple of years.
Absolutely. So just give yourself some grace. Grace is so important in entrepreneurship, especially in the early days.
Yeah, 100%. And it could be scary, right? Entrepreneurship. But like, I know you're the same way because you have similar personalities. Like, I can't get enough of this stuff. And also, like, isn't it cool? Like, we're still figuring things out, right? Like with the technology and the platforms and the algorithms or like what the audience wants, and you're evolving. Like, you're never really complacent because you're always growing with what you do.
Absolutely. That's the cool thing. I'm 14 years in and just figuring out TikTok and finding out if it's something we want to do in our business or not. And I think that's what's fun about entrepreneurship, because it never gets old. You never get bored. That's for sure. Someone once told me that entrepreneurship is basically 90% troubleshooting. And when I first heard that, I'm like, no, thank you. That doesn't sound very fun. But once I got in it, I realized, oh, it is. Things come my way. I got to figure out, do I go this way or that way? And I don't know sometimes which way I need to go. We tried something new this year in the business, and it was a new offer. I didn't know if it was going to work or not. And I remember right before, I told the team, even if this doesn't work, we are still going to try again until it does. Now, the great news is it did work, but I was ready to stick with it because I knew, like, the first time out, it's never exactly what you think it's going to be anyway. So this idea of always experimenting, even 15 years in, is so important.
Yeah, hell yeah. And you can improvise, right? You figure out certain things to adjust and so forth. But I agree with you 100%. Amy, I wanted to ask you, is fear of success a real thing?
You know, it sounds so bizarre. Like, who would ever be fearful of success? But I really do think it is a real thing, because with success means you have to put yourself out there, means that you are responsible probably for other people if you're going to grow your business, if we're looking at it in entrepreneurship lenses. And I do think that I think it really comes down to playing small or putting yourself out there. There's a big fear around that, and it's tied into fear of success. So yes, I do.
Yeah, great point. And also, a little earlier, you mentioned mentors, right? And it's like, for me, I actually take pride in having mentors, right? And like, even now, like, we're looking into a TED Talk. Have you ever done one?
I haven't. So you're thinking about doing one?
Yeah. And I know you at some point will as well. But like, someone approached me and we're seeing what's up in regards to like having a consultant or a coach who helps with that stuff. And like, the old Craig would be like, why would you need that? And now it's like, that's not my thing. I'm unfamiliar. Like you should surround yourself with anybody that maybe has a little bit more experience or that can give you a different perspective, or that's a little bit further ahead. That for me has been my cheat code to accelerate my growth. But it was something that I had to get used to, because I used to have an ego where I thought I could do it myself, but I just don't know what I don't know. You mentioned a couple of times earlier your mentor and so forth. How important is that for you to have mentors, and in different capacities as well?
Oh my gosh, like everything. I've had a mentor since day one. So before I left my job with Tony Robbins, I actually invested in a mastermind where the woman leading it was my mentor, and she's still a dear friend to this day. But I spent $17,000 that I did not have. I had to pay monthly so that I could afford it. But I really do believe that we have to find out who's doing something the way we want to do it and learn everything you can from them. And reinvesting in your business is essential. Every single year, no matter where you are, it's absolutely essential. So I've spent lots of my money reinvesting back into mentors. So I've had a mentor for when I was just starting out. I've had mentors. I have one now where I want to scale the business and take it to 20 million. So I have a mentor who's already done that, showing me the way. I've had mentors for specific things like SEO or mindset shifts or how to create funnels. Like, it really runs the gamut. Some of them stay in my life for a few months. Some of them stay in my life for years. but I think it's one of the most important things is to have mentors. Now, one thing you want to be careful of, and I talk about this in 2 weeks' notice, is that you don't want to have too many mentors. When you have 5, 6, 10 people that you love and you follow online around similar topics telling you what you should do, you will be paralyzed. You will not know which way to turn. So I like to be selective and have a few mentors at a time. So that allows me to also turn inward and ask myself, well, what do I think I should do? Well, how should I show up here with using their guidance? So you lose yourself if you have too many mentors at a time.
So true. And I agree 100%. Do you also mentor people?
You know, I don't do it officially, like get paid to mentor people, but I would say that there's a few people in my life that would look at me as a mentor, and I'm very, very proud of that. I think it's a great way to pay it forward. But one thing I learned early on in my business is I'm not really great one-on-one for two reasons. Number one, I think it's hard to scale a business if you do a lot of one-on-one work. And number two, I don't come up with great ideas off the cuff in the moment. I wish I was that kind of entrepreneur, but I'm a thinker, I'm a planner. And so it takes me a little while. So the pitch and catch with someone that's paying me, not ideal. And that's something that I think is so important. Knowing your strengths, knowing where you are your very best and where you want to show up. And I could make tons of money doing one-on-one consulting, but I choose not to because I don't feel as though I'm in my strength when I'm doing it. And so I love that we get to choose what kind of business models we want.
That's beautiful, because just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's a hard lesson for a lot of entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, to make those decisions in the beginning. They're good at it, so they do it. I did that. Okay, taking you back to my first year in business when I left corporate, my first year, I did social media for small businesses. So essentially I was working one-on-one with people doing their social media, and I hated it, but I was good at it and I knew how to do it. So I figured this is how I'm going to build a business. 2 years in, I looked around and thought, I have like 15 bosses. They were clients, but I didn't know boundaries. So they're bossing me around. And I thought, this is not why I left an amazing job to do this. I do not love it. I am not happy. And so I had to find the courage to change my business model 2 years in. Best decision I ever made, but it was scary thinking like, can I change how I'm making money? And you can, but only if you really take some time to think about, is this the next best move, or am I just bored and want variety? Because a lot of people come into entrepreneurship, they're going to do this and do that and chase that shiny thing. And they look around and they're not known for anything and they don't have any consistent revenue. I think one of the reasons I've been so successful is that I know where I know how to stay in my lane. I know how to be known for something and I double down on that. I'm like a dog with a bone. Then I'm like, I'll do more. I'll scale it. I'll make it better. But I'm not doing 10 things at once. I'm doing about 3 things at once. Very different experience.
Hell yeah. And good for you. But also, like, you had to try that thing in the beginning to realize that, I don't think this is kind of draining me. Like, let me figure something. Let me evolve a little bit. And that kind of brought you to an extent to what you're doing now.
It's so true. I think feelings are really sometimes ignored. How do you feel when you show up with your clients? How do you feel when you wake up in the morning and you know what's ahead of you? Those that are listening now that are still in a 9-to-5 job, when you wake up in the morning, are you excited? Are you filled with joy? Are you ready to take on the day? Because if the answer is no, then it's time to get out of that job because life is too short. And I know it's like, I don't say that flippantly or like it's really easy. In the book, I teach people how to do a runway to get out of a job, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever you want to do. But here's the plan to get out of that while you're building a side hustle so that when you actually leave, you can start making money right out of the gate. Like, so I don't say that like it's not a big deal, but life is too short, and the best day in your 9-to-5 job will never be as good as any day as an entrepreneur. That I know for sure. Would you totally agree with that one?
100%. And me and you speak from contrast.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, because we know what it's like. And also, I just want to say this, like, for the audience listening, like, the reason why Amy's book is going to be such a monster hit is because aside from the mindset and all that stuff, it's also very strategy rich. Like,
very.
It tells you literally what to do and how to do it. So you're not just like, I love the expression burn the ships, but I know that could be scary for some people because you have to make ends meet. But Amy gives you a strategy so you could start thinking about it and then kind of lean into it, right?
And the reason I made the book more of a guidebook than anything, like it's not just about mindset. They're literally the bulk of the book is websites, content creation, list building, making an offer, putting together your business model. Like it's very tactical. And it's because I looked around and I can't find another book like that. There's very few books that tell you do this, then do this, and then do that. Speaking of marketing and building a business kind of stuff. And so I wanted this book to be very tactical for that reason. And it's what I needed 14 years ago that I didn't have. So for the first 2 years of building my business, I was a mess. The first year, I don't know how I did it, but I made just as much as I made in my 9-to-5 job, which was like around $130,000. But my second year, I went backwards. Like I made less than my first year. Like I didn't know what I was doing or how to do it. And I don't think that confusion is necessary. So that's why I wrote the guidebook about it.
Wow. This is awesome. Straight up. I just got like a dopamine hit because I just love talking to you. First of all, that's awesome that you made exactly what you're making in corporate, which is a great salary, you know, for most people, right. 130,000, but then also the vulnerability to show that you went backwards. Right. But that you want to make sure that that doesn't happen to other people, that they just move forward, so to speak. And there's nobody better to give advice about this stuff because you actually went through it. And I love that you took the approach. Everything that you say always has a message. There's going to be mindset in there, but you mentioned the word tactical, right? Like everybody knows what they should do, but I think a lot of people get overwhelmed because, okay, but what's step one, right? And they don't really know. And so maybe sometimes it prevents them from starting, but you touch on all that stuff.
Absolutely. I think it's so important to have a guide and someone willing to share with you what they did, the mistakes they made, what worked. And so I just want to be people's guide. For $27, they could literally have a roadmap to leaving a job that sucks their soul, where they're not respected or paid what they're worth, into a life that literally the sky is the limit. I know that for a fact. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It's a different kind of experience. And the only thing that is stopping someone from staying in their 9-to-5 job or leaving it and creating a business is courage. I talk a lot about this in the very beginning of the book. There's a difference between courage and confidence. Courage is I'm going to take that leap of faith. I have no proof in myself that I can do this. I've never been an entrepreneur or a business owner, but I know I want it. I know why I want it. I'm going to take that leap of faith and trust in myself. That's courage. We all can find that. Confidence is I've got a track record. I've done this. I know how to make money online. I could build a website. I can grow an email list. Most people that pick up my book will never have done any of that yet. And so it starts with courage. Confidence comes later. And that's the only thing you need to get started. And I hope someone really needed to hear that right now. You don't need to know all this stuff. You don't need more years of experience. You don't need more time in your 9-to-5 job. You need courage. That is what's going to get you started.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig. This is unbelievable. And straight up, like, I mean, I was about to ask you, ironically, like, Amy, what would you, just playing devil's advocate, like, what would you say to someone that was like, this all sounds great, but like, I don't have what you have. Like, I didn't have the career before. Like, I didn't have any knowledge. Like, I can't do what you did. But you already answered it. It takes courage. That's step one, right?
And I know that for sure, because when I first had, in the very beginning of the book, like introduction, I tell the story of why I decided I was going to leave my 9-to-5 job. And I won't give the story away. But what I will say is when I decided I need to be my own boss, that's essentially why I'm doing what I want. I'm doing now. I didn't want anyone to tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I didn't want to be on anyone else's time or anyone else's dime. I wanted to call the shots, right? Like you and I have that in common, like in my deep rooted soul, I wanted to call the shots. But in that moment, when I realized I wanted that, I looked to my friend who was in this meeting with me and I said, I have no skills that would translate to be an entrepreneur or build a business. Like all I know is 9-to-5 job from the day I left college. And she was a writer. And so I said, like, you could be a freelance writer. I have nothing. And I was so dead wrong. And so much of what you do in your personal life, so much of what you do in your business life can translate into your own business. But we just discount all of that. It comes easy to us, or it's natural, or we know it well. So it must not be that important. That's the mistake that I see most people make, thinking they can't start their own business because they're not skilled enough. We all have skills and experience that could lend themselves to a business.
You're on fire and you can't stop. And like, nobody can dispute this conversation right now because we both just did it. So like, yes, and I had probably less than zero experience online. I had 300 Instagram followers. You can argue that's less than zero. I had nothing going on. And like, so it really just takes the courage, the 20 seconds of courage, and then resourcefulness and a commitment to figuring things out. And I love how passionate you are about like helping people, because let's be honest, most people, sadly, I think are miserable at their job. And I think based upon statistics, I think we spend maybe a third of our life at work, at our career. And if you're not waking up energized, like that's a shame, right? And that was me for a very long time. So trust me when I tell you, I'm empathetic. But I also know once I had the courage and I found what I love and I'm making the money, first of all, the money, ironically, is the byproduct. But when you really love what you like, it just comes. It's just a beautiful thing that will come with it. But you don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to see other people winning and excited and think that that's not for you. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate how passionate you are about that. And I am as well.
I love that. Yeah, we have that in common, like so very passionate, because when I look at what my life is like today, and you're right, beyond the money, just the life I live, how I spend my time, who I spend it with, where I spend it, that would never have happened if I stayed in my 9-to-5 job, never. And so knowing that what is possible, I feel like I have to shout it from the rooftops, that at least dream about it, at least allow yourself to think about it, get the book and learn what it might take for you to get started, because you're robbing yourself of so much if you continue to play small in a job you know you do not love. And the thing is, not every day of entrepreneurship is wonderful. I don't wake up every morning and I'm super excited about everything I'm going to work on. Do I want to be in some of these meetings? No. Do I want to look over financials and kind of pick it apart? Not necessarily. But on a whole, do I love the business I got to create? Do I love what I do on a whole? Absolutely. So I also, in the book, I don't sugarcoat anything. It's not like everything's perfect. But again, this is a very different experience than working for somebody else on somebody else's time and somebody else's dime.
100%. Yeah. Pivoting for a second. Amy, what exactly, because I see you talk about this sometimes, what exactly is decision fatigue?
Ooh, yes, I love this. Decision fatigue is this idea. You basically, all this stuff is coming your way and you have to make a decision about this. You need to make a decision about that and about this. Like so many decisions in the day that you get to the point that you kind of throw your hands up and you're like, I don't know. I can't even think straight anymore. And so the fewer decisions that you need to make in your business, the better. And the way you do that is you stop having so many spinning plates in the air. So if you look at my business and my business model, I have two digital courses that I focus on the most. One is evergreen, one is a live launch. So one runs every single day, one I do once a year and I make it really big. So those are two different digital courses. And then I have a membership that I also nurture and support and grow. So that's three things that if you ask me, where's the bulk of my money coming from? Three different products. Now, there's other things that once in a while I'll get involved in, but it never gets my full attention. These three things do. And so when I'm making decisions, I'm not making decisions on 20 different things. I'm typically making decisions on three things. That makes a huge difference. And you make better decisions because you're not fatigued around it. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at decision fatigue, but when it comes down to a business model, that's how I look at it.
This is great stuff. And also, like, so I wanted to ask you, so because those are the primary decisions that you're focused on, do you delegate some of the other, I don't want to say less important, but other decisions to be made to your team?
Absolutely. So about 7 years ago, I started to grow my team with full-time employees. So remember, I've been in business 14, almost 15 years. So it took me about 7 years. I used a lot of contractors, freelancers, but then about 7 years ago, I decided to hire my first full-time employee. Since then, the team has grown to 20 full-time employees all across the U.S., and I absolutely delegate many decisions to them. And I had to get to the point that I said, they actually could do this better than I can. Their decision around this, they're probably going to make a better decision than I will because I'm going to be stretched too thin if I take this on. It was hard though to give up anything in my business. This is my baby. I birthed this. Like I took this very seriously, but I think it took me a few years to learn how to delegate and let go. And I think it's all ego. When you don't let go, you think you can do everything better than anyone else. I know that's not true. And so now things are ran in my business. This is where it gets a little wild. Some things happen in my business that I actually don't know about. Now, at the surface, that freaks me out. I feel like I should know everything because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for it all. But there's some small things that happen in the business or even kind of medium things that I don't need to know everything that's going on. So that's where I am at now. It's a scary place, but it's a place that I know I can scale the business at. So yeah, something to look forward to as you all get going.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is we're hiring now too, not anywhere close to what you're doing with 20 people and so forth yet. But also I had that same personality, that ego, right? I think nobody could do it better than me. But just like I had to switch my mindset from associating pain to hiring mentors to associating pleasure, now I take pride in it. It's the same thing with hiring, because when you hire someone, you're like, oh, they're good, or they're awesome, or that frees up time for me, or that's refreshing, or that's a great idea. Isn't that the best?
Yes. Absolutely. And this idea that we are employing other people. I love that you're doing it now, Craig, and you're not waiting like I did. I should have hired sooner. But also, so it's kind of a funny situation. I have a book called 2 Weeks Notice, teaching you how to quit your job and start your own business. But I employ 20 people. I'm well aware of the awkwardness of that. But what I do in my own business, and anyone listening right now can do this as well, I built a business that feels as though we're all entrepreneurs. Number one, we do a 4-day work week. So we work Monday through Thursday, 8 hours a day. We take off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we make a very conscious effort not to work long hours or to cheat and work on the weekend. So we're very aware of it. In addition, I give unlimited time off. No one abuses it. I have an amazing team, but it's not you get 7 days or 14 days a year or anything like that. And we also, I make sure that people are making decisions, that they feel that they have autonomy in their different departments so that they can run it like it's their own business. So you can employ people and still have that entrepreneurship feeling in your business so that you can change other people's lives. Like a lot of, I have 18 women and 2 men in my business. And funny enough, they're both gay. So I think I might need some straight men in my business, but for some reason we don't have any right now. But I say that to say that having 18 women that are, many are around the age of having babies and they're having children, and those kids look at their mom and they're like, look what you're doing. You're changing lives. You're making a difference. You're providing for the family. I take that very seriously. So those that are listening now, starting a business and being your own boss, it starts with you. Like it's you want something different. You want freedom. You want to make more money. We all start with what do we want? But years in, you start to look around and think, how can I change other people's lives in my own business that work for me? And that is like a beautiful thing. So I'm excited that you're starting to do that, because that is a whole different experience in entrepreneurship.
This is so beautiful. Like people say, I guess it's controversial, but we're in a recession. But right. But you're creating jobs. How cool is that? Right.
Right now we're hiring for like 3 different jobs. And I looked around and I thought, am I crazy? Like we're going into a recession, supposedly. And should I really be hiring during this time? And then I looked at my financials. I looked at the growth of the business and I thought, of course I should. And I get to make those decisions on my own. But the coolest thing to hire right now is that I can't even believe the talent. The talent is out of this world right now, because I think a lot of people are either getting laid off or they know they have choices. And so it's really cool to see.
Yeah. And let's stay there for a second. So talent, a lot of people have talent, but I imagine that's not it for you. What do you look for specifically when you're bringing someone into your team, AKA your baby?
So personality and character is everything to me. I feel as though I can train people to do a lot of things in the business, but I can't train that. And so I have the silly thing that when I'm in interviews, I'm not in every interview now, but if I'm hiring for the leadership team, I'm in all of those. And I ask myself, would I want to sit down with them at a restaurant over a glass of wine and our charcuterie board and just talk and have a relationship with? And I don't need to be family with my team. I don't need to be best friends, but will I enjoy the pitch and catch with them? And if the answer is I'm not too sure or no, I am not hiring that person. So I do hire for character and personality because I think it's so important that we enjoy working with each other. But if you have to be careful of that. I'm not looking for people just like me. They might have a very different personality. They might be super like New York and some maybe aggressive in their conversation or kind of in your face in a fun way. I'm not any of that, but I appreciate that and I love it. So I'm not looking for more of me. I'm looking for just like genuine, authentic people that are fun to be around. And I think that's important.
100%. You have a culture, right? And you have a certain vibe. And it's important and talent is around, but you want to make sure they fit into that vibe.
For sure. That's so true. It's a vibe. And that's what I'm looking for.
This might be a personal question. If you don't want to do this, fine. But like when you do the hiring process, do you do like maybe like a 3-month trial period to like you could see if you're a right fit for each other?
So I'm glad you asked this question. We do a 30, 60, 90 day evaluation when someone's new in the company. And we say at any time, if this is not right for you, if you're not enjoying this, if you feel like maybe you made the wrong decision, let's talk about it. Like this is kind of like at will in the first 90 days, but we make it clear we're also making that assessment. And if we feel that you're not right for us, we will let you know at 30 days what we want to see fixed or where we're seeing issues. At 60 days, we'll reevaluate. And by 90 days, we'll both know if this is right for us or not. Now, what's really tricky about that is I always try to put myself in the shoes of the person that's taking the job. They're likely leaving another job to take this. So it's not like I flippantly will be like, I don't think this is going to work. I take it very seriously, but we do have an at will for the first 90 days and it goes both ways. And I think it's really important.
Yeah. You're such a badass. And, okay, and it's so true, but like people are investing in you, but you're investing in them too, right? Like the onboarding process, like that takes time. That takes effort. It takes maybe money and so forth.
So true. I used a recruiter recently for a position, a high position. I paid the recruiter a lot of money and the position didn't work out, but it was after the period of time that I could get my money back. And I look at that and I think, okay, well, this is the cost of playing the game. Like those situations are going to happen. I beat myself up for about a day that it didn't work out and I lost a lot of money. And then I thought, well, if I want to be in the game, if I want to find top talent, sometimes using a recruiter is going to be necessary and sometimes it doesn't work out. But I just say that to say I'm many, many years in and I'm still making mistakes that I'm just like kind of, oh, that one really stung. But then I got to just get back up and just fix it and keep moving forward.
But this is what happens when you're the gladiator inside the arena, right? Sometimes this stuff happens. And I think the name of our first episode was Get in the Game. And you always use that word, but I love how like you look at it all like a game. Like some things might hurt, right? But we learn lessons and it's all part of really just being a participator, not a spectator. Yup, that's correct. Billionaire Mark Cuban is motivating entrepreneurs daily with his Three Commas line of apparel, accessories, and coffee. Three Commas has the softest suede crew tees, a great line of accessories, and the best direct trade Colombian coffee. Join the Three Commas Club on Instagram at Three Commas or visit their website, threecommas.com, to learn more. Thank me later, you dig?
Absolutely. Like I feel as though maybe my next book, if I ever write one again, is all about getting in the game. And the reason I talk about that so much is I know that I was on the sidelines for way too long. Even in my own business, I was scared to put out my opinion. I was scared to ruffle feathers. I wanted everyone to like me.
Same.
And so I felt you feel that too. Like I felt like, yeah, I was on the sidelines for so long. So that part is essential. And there's no better way to get in the game than to be your own boss.
Well, you know what? I think when I was journaling, like the last couple of weeks, something that I realized, I had like an epiphany that really contributed to like an explosion or a quantum leap in my success and growth is because I really started to fully, probably for the first time in my life, truly love myself. Mm. And like showcase my weirdness, right? My strength, like take it or leave it, it is what it is. But maybe when you you just reminded me of what you just said. Like, I don't know, it just made me think of that. How important for you, and I imagine maybe it's something you're still working on, but like self-love, like how important is that for you?
You know, I see you working on self-love. Like, I think it's very apparent that you take that very seriously. And I absolutely love that that's part of your message, because it is something that I've had to work on for a long time. And only over the last few years did I really take it seriously. Like, this is so silly, but looking in the mirror and saying to myself, I love you, was really hard for a really long time. One, it felt really silly, but two, it just brought up a lot of things for me. And so I feel as though the more you love yourself, the more impact you can make for other people. How are you supposed to love other people when you look in the mirror and do not love yourself? And this is coming from a girl who's battled my weight since I was very, very young, very self-conscious to get on video for many, many years. I know what it feels like to not like yourself. I know what it feels like to look in the mirror and think that you are ugly or you are fat or you are not worthy. My experience for many, many years was that. But then I also knew I am literally playing small with this hating myself every day. It's taking a lot of effort and energy. So what if we flip this? And what if I started to try to even like myself first? I had to start to like before I started to love. And so I am proof that you can love yourself after many, many, many years of not liking yourself at all. And I think it's essential for your growth as an entrepreneur.
I'm so happy I asked you this. And this was not like part of one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, but this is the juiciest stuff of all, right? And like for anybody that was on the fence, like maybe they're not necessarily an entrepreneur, but should I buy Amy's book? Just because of that, you should, right? Because Amy's been through it. And I think everybody in some capacity has dealt with either self-love or maybe not feeling worthy in some capacity. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know anybody who hasn't felt that way. And so I'm glad you brought that up. It's a very human, natural feeling to beat yourself up and to be hard on yourself and maybe not to like yourself. That is normal for many of us, but it doesn't have to be your reality. You literally have the opportunity to change that.
And no matter where you are, like it's never too late, right? Like you can learn to love when you love yourself, it's almost like you're both, no one could touch you, right? Because you're
so
not afraid.
True.
Yeah.
I made a goal this year that, you know, I know you said it, you've been doing it for many years is what you said, but I chose my word this year and my word is peace. And my husband asked like, well, what do you mean? And I said, in my head, I want more peace. I want to work on it even more because I care deeply about what people think of me to the point that it's not healthy. And this is something I've worked on for a long time. So I think I'm farther along than I probably give myself credit for. But there's still those moments that I'll say something or do something and someone doesn't like it online. And I take it very hard. And I just want to have peace that I'm not for everyone. There's actually a chapter in the book called You're Not For Everyone, Boo. And it's all about you are not going to please everyone. So let's just stop trying like right now. I wish I stopped many, many years ago. So yeah, I just want to have peace, which comes with self-love and taking care of myself and stop worrying about what everyone thinks of me because I'm not going to make everyone happy.
Hell yes. And we'll continue with that. And just to touch upon that, like, it would be irresponsible to say, don't worry about what anybody thinks, because I believe as humans, we're wired, yes, but just be conscious of the right people, right? Like make sure you're available for what the right people think and you're not available for what the wrong people think.
Yes. That consider the source. My mom always said, consider the source. And I think that's valuable in that.
And as you continue to play bigger, which in the grand scheme of things, let's be honest, you're just getting warmed up. The bigger you play, the more people are going to disagree with your message.
It's true. And it's something that's hard for me to swallow. Like, oh, maybe that's sometimes where the fear of success comes in. The bigger you are, the more haters you have. It's just proven fact, unfortunately. But there's also this huge opportunity to impact more lives in the most beautiful way. So I just have to remember that. I think we all have to remember that. But Craig, I cannot tell you how much I love these conversations. You always ask like the questions that matter. So I appreciate you doing so.
Hell yeah. And I have a feeling we're just getting started together. I have a feeling you're going to be a regular. I'm going to put that intention out there.
I love it.
Can people start pre-ordering the book right now?
Absolutely. So if you go to twoweeksnoticebook.com, so twoweeksnoticebook.com, you'll find all the places that you can buy it anywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But I also have bonuses depending on when you buy it. The earlier, the more bonuses. So yeah, you can pre-order the book right now and I would greatly appreciate it.
Do you prefer us to drop this episode before the book comes out or like right then?
Right before or the week that it comes out.
Okay. All right, done. And also, are you doing an audio version?
I am. I actually recorded the Audible for it, which was so cool and surreal.
How was that experience? Good?
It was in a Nashville. So I live in Nashville. So it was in a Nashville studio that Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton have recorded in. So I'm like, this is cool just because. And it was a wonderful experience because one, I'm a podcaster. So I love the talking it out, but also just like, holy cow. I wrote this and I have to say, not to toot my own horn, but when I read the whole thing, I thought, damn, that is a good book. That is solid. There are strategies in here that could literally change someone's life. So it was a great experience. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's awesome. Hang out for one sec, Amy. And again, so much love and respect for you. I could personally guarantee you just get warmed up, keep on spreading your wings and leaving your legacy on this planet. Thank you so much for stopping by once again and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today.
Thank you so much, friend.
Too much fun when we get together.
Oh my gosh. So if you ever get to Nashville, you got to let me know.
And I will.
Are you in New York?
Yeah. I would show you the river behind me, but it got pitch black out.
Oh geez, it did. Okay, yeah. Good. So maybe if I'm ever there, we can hook up.
You were there not too long ago, right?
I know. And I didn't even think, oh my gosh, Craig's here. So I'll make it happen next time.
Yeah, hell yeah. And congratulations with the book. I know it's going to be a smashing hit.
Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon and have a wonderful year, but let's keep in touch.
100%. Bye, Amy. Okay.
Bye, friend.
Have a good night.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.